from each one of you here this morning. I thought I'd this chapter in Joshua stuck out to me. First chapter in Joshua. It has a special, to me, it has special meaning and special words in there. So I'd just like to read the first 9 verses of that. You have the Bibles, you want to turn to that. Joshua 1:1-9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I spake unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I'm going to close and stop with that. As you notice in this chapter, it really sticks out about being courageous and strong. And I have to think of that today. You know, there's all kinds of discouragements and distresses and temptation to give up. And there's so many circumstances in our lives that come against us. Our friends leave us, or they do this, and people do this. And I just I just think that in this chapter, these prominent words stand out, that, and it's repeated 3 times, as you noticed. It says this: be thou strong and very courageous. And I had the thing last week, I was reading in the news, it just said, it was talking about, as I was studying this struck me, talking about a prime minister over in England, former prime minister Margaret Thatcher, and it said, here's the words that they described her. It said she had courage, conviction, and fortitude based on robust conservative principles. Well, I had to think of that. That would fit us today, too. Courage, conviction, and fortitude. How important that is. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. What makes this, to me, even more striking, and that he repeated it 3 times, is that these words were directly from the Lord, as you notice. They weren't given through a prophet. It says, in verse 1, it says, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, now this was the Lord. It wasn't another person. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't any of the prophets. It was the Lord spoke unto them and spoke unto Joshua, but we are the Joshuas of today. And it's not that the prophet's words can't be the very words that the Lord intends, but there is something special to hear it. Just direct words from the Lord. Be strong and courageous. And when I see this and see it so directly and repeat it 3 times and so emphatically, I want to open my ears and listen and see what the Lord is talking about. This story is a tremendous help to understand our Christian life in a lot of ways. And I want to go down through here and not just focus on just one of these, but on many things in this verse. courage. Courage is the thing that we need so much. There's a lot to in this to have to do with our mental, our spiritual, and our emotional life. Evidently, the Lord believes that we have the ability to choose to have courage and not to have courage. Because it says in verse 9, have I not commanded thee? It says, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. All of these things happen in our life, and we're tempted to give up. We're tempted to think, well, you know what, I'm not going to go that right. The Lord tells you, you have the ability to do it, with his help, of course. This is the decision that we make. Life is full of decisions, but this is the decision that we can do. We can either decide to adopt this commandment or just to leave it and not do anything about the commandment. But I'd like to maybe just, it'll help us to understand as I go down through this, it'll help us to understand a little bit where's the background of what the Lord was talking about. Now, let's just go back. God's people, the Israelites, were camped on the east side of the Jordan River at this point. And across the river was this beautiful land that God had promised the Israelites. And it was not only beautiful to the eye with its hills and valleys fading in the distance, which it is, and Israel is a beautiful country. And today it's a little bit dry, but according to what I understand, it wasn't near that dry back in those times. It seemed like the clearing of trees and things actually changed the weather, like it does even in other places. But anyway, it was beautiful. It was filled with fruit trees and grapes and milk and honey and grain and rest, because they could build houses and lands. I had been 40 years that they had lived in tents as nomads in the hot desert, deprived of hardly any good food except, of course, manna, which was good. But God was only doing that to keep them going until the land of Canaan came along, until the opposite, the Jordan. It wasn't supposed to be that they were there 40 years. In fact, it could have been 40 days or less, the distance that they had to travel. So it wasn't supposed to be that way. But it was for them. Now, I'm talking about the distance from Egypt to Canaan. You know, spiritually, leaving Canaan, let's apply this to our lives and also to listening to what happened here. But spiritually, leaving Egypt and the cruel taskmaster that is over us and was over them, and trusting God to deliver us, he tests us to see if our faith is true. And he leads us eventually, which in this case, he was going to lead them over the Jordan River. This is teaching a wonderful lesson to us today, how that repentance, trusting and accepting the Lord, leaving that old life and coming into the land of joy and peace and beauty. You know, it's amazing that they spent 40 years doing that. And I'm afraid there's many people today that are spending 40 years too. In fact is, many of them says that they fell in the wilderness in this dark and parched land that they fell in. And they never reached the land because they never totally accepted and adopted and surrendered what the Lord had for them. It says that that's because of the unbelief. And unbelief is something that you choose to do because you like something better than that. It's not that you can't believe, because there was plenty of stuff to believe, but they choose not to believe. But anyway, coming back to here, but here in this chapter, God's people are ready to taste of the joy and peace of that God is giving to them. But God is telling them that I'm going to give you all this land over on the other side of the Jordan, beyond Jordan. And I believe at this point, I think it's talking about in the sense that we can gather from it, in the sense that God gave this chapter to us, it's talking to us about the new birth across the Jordan. I know that we sing this song. There's a number of songs talking about Jordan, as I can't even think of the name of the songs that we sing, but they're talking about heaven. But I really believe that the metaphor here is more speaking about the new life of Christ. It talks about them going in and taking of the corn of the land. So it's that more that I believe than it's talking about heaven. But it's still interesting to use that song for that reason too. But and there was much land, and it was beautiful land. Had all they could have. It was the land of the Hittites. It's interesting. I get this magazine called Biblical Archaeology, and it talks about the Hittites. And for a number of years, you don't need to know this to continue this, but it's just interesting to me. For many years, the Hittites, the Bible spoke many times about the Hittites, but they couldn't find anything archaeologically on the Hittites, so they didn't believe it. But lo and behold, here it comes out. They were a big, a great empire. They actually, most of them were north of there. But anyway, the Hittites, they were a people, and it talks how that they came from the wilderness to Lebanon to the great river Euphrates and to the Hittites, from going down to the sun. That was all going to be you, and it's yours. You can have it. It's free. Verse 3 says, whatever you walk on, what you walk on it and step on it, you receive it. It's yours. There it is. I think that's the way with our Christian life. If the Lord wants to give it to us, He wants us to walk on it. It's free. I give it to you. It's yours. And it is joyous and blessed, He tells us this. Sure, there's a lot of earthly sorrows, and I know we prayed this morning for a number of people who are sick and in pain and different things, and there's disappointments and all kinds of things, but the Christian life lived inwardly is joyous and blessed, and the inner man, the inner spiritual man, rejoices in the beautiful kingdom that he sees across the river, and of course, we need to be over there right now. Bible tells us to rejoice evermore inwardly. And Paul talks about how he rejoices in spite of everything that's taking place. Verse 15 even, which I didn't read, but it emphasizes this. It says, enjoy this land. Possess the land. Yes, we need to grab a hold. We need to apprehend the new life of Christ and take it and use it. And then in verse 5 it says, as we go down through there, it says that no man is able to stand before thee. Nothing shall be able to stop you from that kingdom life if you want it. It's all in your hands. You have the choice to do it. Romans 8 talks about that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ or the kingdom of Christ that's across the Jordan River into new birth? Shall persecution or famine or sword or a whole bunch of other things, which I'm not reading right now. No, it says, nay, in all things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not principalities, not powers, nor any creature shall be able to do that. It's in our hands to live the life of Christ and to live there. Another verse that stuck out to me was one in Matthew where it says that, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Paul even talks even more about that in Corinthians where he says, I'm persecuted, but not forsaken. He had this very thing that nobody is able to stop you, it says here in verse 5. No, they can't. They can't stop us. But now he says, we come to maybe the theme of this verse, which I started out to say is, be strong, be courageous. One place it says, very courageous. Then it uses the word, very interestingly to me, it uses the word only. It says in verse 7, only be thou strong. I was trying to think how that word applies to us. I think what it's saying really is that I'm going to give you all this stuff and everything, but there's some conditions. You have to be strong and courageous. So why do you have to be courageous to be a Christian is the question that came to me. Well, I tell you the reason is because of this Bible that I have in front of me. That's the very reason why I have to be courageous. It's blessed, it's wonderful, it's exciting to be have peace and joy in your heart, but you have to be strong and courageous because of things that are going to happen in your life. He says, he continues with this, the Lord thought it was important for them, only be thou strong and courageous, because the things, maybe I could put it this way, I should read that out of the scripture, but I'll just say this way, the things to do and observe take courage and strength. A Christian life is not for somebody that's a sissy. If you want to be inherit the land, you're going to have to be strong. It's just that simple. There are things in the book of the law that are not easy. There are crosses to bear. There are things that the world thinks are strange, according to Paul's writing. They think it's strange that you run out in these things. Maybe that was Peter, I'm not sure, but there will be persecutions. There will be pressure to conform. There is a battle going on. In verse 14, of which we didn't read either, it talks about that they have to go into the land armed. In other words, you have to have, you're ready for battle. It's going to happen. When you decide that you're going to take this land, you're going to go over into the new birth. We battle Satan. We battle our own carnal nature. And we must observe to do all that what the Lord commands. And if you do, verse 8, as we continue down through there, it says, your walk with God will prosper and you'll have success. You will win in your life. You'll be useful and happy and joyous and peace and a people of God. And verse 9 continues that, because of this, the Lord God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. This is the second time that he says this very phrase, verse 7. It's interesting to me how that he repeats himself, and that's what stuck out to me. The Lord blesses in many ways, and though but particularly, and maybe the most important thing is, it says here, it doesn't say that if you observe and do what he says. It says that, but I left out a word. It says if you do all that I do. Notice that word. All that we know what to do. Totally committed to do what we know is His will. Now, sometimes we don't totally know His will totally, and in those times, we'll just have to. The Lord knows that. There's people in the world that know only half of His will. In my opinion, I think that they don't understand all of His will. But if we know to do it, we need to do this, and to do all His will. I have to think of this verse in Hebrews that says that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Notice that it doesn't say that you're a rewarder of Him that seek Him only or mildly, but diligently seek Him. If the Christian life is worth living, or if it's worth living at all, it's worth living to its ultimate, my opinion. I think he's talking about here that if we have a relationship, the book of the law has this all in it. Love the Lord God with all thy heart and soul. This is a total package that we accept. It's not a book of rules. It's a book of acceptance of him and so forth. It's interesting to me in verse 7, there's another condition. The same condition, but it's a special exhortation. It says, turn not to the right hand or to the left. And it's an interesting phrase because it's been repeated in different places in the scripture. Deuteronomy 28:14, it says the same words. And also in chapter 17:11 and also in chapter 17:20. Other places it says this. I have to think of this. He's talking about don't turn from the left or to the right. It's like a trail or a road that you're on. And there's possibilities of going each direction. As, you know, I have to think of these boys camp go up in the mountains today. There's trails through the mountains and valleys of life. And we know what that is. I mean, we know the road. The road is narrow, but it's plain. It's clear. But on each side of the road, there's obstacles and detours and seemingly good things, too. And these little things want to take you to the left or to the right. And it takes courage, it takes strength to go over the obstacles and the mountains that you have to go and the drop-offs that you see. It takes courage for that. It takes strength to reject the lurings of things to take you off. You're tired and you're discouraged, and it wants to take you this direction to the left or the right because of this. In Proverbs, it has this verse there. It says, there is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. You know, we're lured to one side or to the other, but we cannot go those routes. Let's not forget that he says that whithersoever you go, I will be with you. You don't need to go to the left or to the right. People don't need to be deceived. You don't need to do any of these things. It's not like, sure, they're tempting, and sure, it takes strength and courage, but you don't need to do this. It's not to the weak or to the cowardly to enter into the promised land. Revelation 29 is a verse there. It's kind of interesting some ways because of who it's of talking about. It says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and there's a number of other words that uses there, shall have their part in the lake of fire. I looked at all the other translations there about the word fearful, and they translated cowardly. And it's exactly what is the opposite of what it's talking about here. The cowardly shall have no part, or shall have their part in the lake of fire. It's expected, the Lord expects you to have courage and strength. If you're a coward, it's your fault, and you will not make it. We cannot be that kind. I didn't know if there's more to the words left and right besides the figure of speech. I know we have the Republicans and the Democrats, the left and the right, and I thought maybe there's something more to it. I'm going to just expand. Whether it has something more or not, I'm just going to say a few words. Is I have to think of the kings and the leaders of Israel. And I read in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and I read about these leaders and where they took the people. And I just almost sometimes can't stand reading it because I think this is so, so bad. Because it says, and he did evil unto the Lord. And he did evil. And they just kept on doing evil, although there were good ones. But what kind of evil? And most of the time it had to do with serving idols. Some cases it was violence. Other cases it was something else. But they did evil in the sight of the Lord. They went to the left or to some other place. Or some did mostly right, but the Lord, it says here that thy way shall prosper if you observe to do all that I say. Remember it said all. I remembered this one king, his name is Amaziah, I think, that it says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But it says save, in other words, other than, say that the high places were not removed, and the Lord smote him with leprosy. It's kind of interesting in a way, because he did right what was in the sight of the Lord, except. And then we come to a king that did it, that didn't go to the left or to the right. And it's kind of interesting, and the king I'm ready to mention is not Josiah, but Josiah is the only king that it says these exact words, he went neither to the left or to the right. But there are the other kings that had used other language to describe very similar, and Hezekiah was one of them. I want to just read a little bit out of 2 Kings chapter 18:3. Here's what it says. And he did that, talking about Hezekiah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves. I hope we do that with our Christian life, or how would you say, our carnal life, to break down the groves and break pieces, this and that. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense. Then it continues on. It says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. That was somebody that didn't go to the right or to the left, stayed right in the middle. That's just such a blessing to see that. And I would have to think, what kind of a thing could we do today, Christians do today, that go to the left or to the right? And I have to think of some, there is a road, there is a narrow road, and there's a left and there's a right. And I have to think of the doctrine of easy believism. Just believe, you don't have to do anything. You can do, you can live like you want to. But I believe God, he saved me, that's all I have to do. Or the opposite, it's all works. It's doesn't need anything, you just work and work and work. Those are lefts and rights. Or maybe it's disregarding or denying requirements of the New Testament. Or maybe it's the opposite way, is adding requirements to the New Testament. And it's not that it's so hard to know the center of the path, the not the left or right. It's not that hard to know. It's there. I was reading this, I think I said this before, I was reading about this one man was writing, he said, interpreting Bible scripture, why do we need interpretation? All we need to do is do it. I know what he was trying to get to is, it's simple, it's not hard to understand. And yet, according to scripture, the Bible says that few find it. And I think it's because of lack of courage. It's hard to do sometimes, in their opinion, our opinion. But courage and strength are totally available, because Jesus said that I am with you until the end of the world. I whithersoever you go, I'm going to be there. You step on the land, you'll have it. You know, the new birth is a total commitment to Jesus wherever he takes you. No, sometimes we say the new birth experience as if it's experience and then it's over with, as if it's only experience. But it's a total change of your life. Some people don't necessarily have the word experience. Some people have just some emotional experience in their life that changes, and others don't have this. One or the other is fine. But it means a total change of life from Satan kingdom to Christ kingdom, and a total surrender to known and revealed words of the Lord. And I'm saying total surrender. It means you do anything. And the action required to do it. which is observe and to do all the teaching of Jesus. Repentance. So it comes down to this. It's a decision. Another decision. It's a decision to follow Christ and to do and observe all he does. And the decision to decide, I'm not going to be tempted to give up. I'm not tempted to do this or that or some other foolish thing because I don't have any courage or any strength. That is just an excuse. The Bible plainly teaches that the strength and the courage comes from the Lord, and he'll give it to you. It says it here in plain words. You know, it's sometimes assumed that there is these brave people in the world, and I'm not brave, and I can't be brave, and therefore this. The truth of it is, Bible says that this is a decision that you make yourself. And anyway, I guess the bottom line is, I'm going to close with this, Christian life takes courage and strength to survive. And we need to adopt and make that decision totally. I'm going to close with that.